Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So, have we got our coach at the podium yet? What's the deal?
Not yet. Oh, wow. Perfect timing. Look at this. Damn, I'm good at my job sometimes. Ross McMahon's at the podium. Presser presented by U of L Health. Make the impossible possible. That's the power of you.
The staff learned the other night about this situation that you're all in and maybe what you need to tweak or do better.
I mean, we learned that we're all in it together, and it was obviously it's always galvanizing when you face a little bit of adversity with Coach Mack out and stuff, and you got to come together. So I think that's a message that we all felt as a staff, as a team, getting to have that opportunity to come together for that and stuff. Obviously, we faced some challenges the other night and learned we have a lot of growth to be made. We got to keep growing in a lot of areas, and so those are things we're addressing.
Ross, what your vision of what you want this offense to look like, how close are you guys from being there? Or are you still pretty far off?
I would say, I mean, you give us 1 year, there'll still be growth to be made at the end of 1 year. 3 years, still be growth to be made at the end of 3 years. It's a never-ending target in the distance that you want to keep striving for in terms of getting better at it. But I think, like, right now, from a spacing perspective, would be what I would say I'm the most pleased with. And as a staff, we're the most pleased with, like, our players' commitment to just their spacing. All right? Constantly, we talk about, like, we can't guard each other out there when we're in offense, and when you have bad spacing, you spend time guarding each other, right? And so, like, I think our spacing, I give us an A+ right now, a B+, right? That's kind of pretty good. There's a few errors every once in a while. Our commitment to our pace throughout the course of the game and throughout the course of, like, in the face of fatigue or frustration, which are the two things that can, like, hinder your commitment to pace at times, that needs to continue to get better. But I would say that was better than we saw, like, in the red-white scrimmage or in moments in the West Georgia game. I thought it was better the other night. Granted, it sure helps when we get better stops, you know what I mean, defensively. So those two things marry together a lot of the time. Last piece I'd say is now you get into the half court, right? And, like, we've been talking about as a team is, like, we want our offense no different than we want it fast up and down. We want it fast in the half court from one action to the next, like a metronome. You know what I mean? A fast metronome, right? Where it's bop, 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 not bop, bop, awkward silence. You know what I mean? Like, that thing's got to move. And so it's we got to keep growing in that area. That's the biggest one right now, I'd say.
So another question, this is not about offense, but Matt Cross, he was already committed here when you got the job to come here. He admitted at Miami, he was pretty much just a spot up shooter. When did you guys kind of realize, hey, he can be much more of that and he needs to be much more of that for this team? Because obviously I think we saw it the other night against Southern.
Yeah, I think, I mean, throughout the course of the summer, you see that as soon as he touched down here and stuff, and we get to playing and he's injected into the way we play and stuff, you saw his skill set flourish in a lot of ways. And Matt, more than anything, is a tough, hard-nosed competitor that plays hard, and it showed up. He saved us in a lot of areas the other night. But I mean, that guy can shoot it, he can make plays off the bounce, he passes it pretty well, has a good feel for the game and stuff, and he's only going to get better.
Did you, when you look at the other night, obviously, you're going to make mistakes in an opening game. You're going to, you know, that kind of stuff. How you were talking about offense, but defensively, offensively, I mean, was some of it jitters, you think, early on in that game? I mean, do you chalk any of that up to it? Or when you watch the film, what did you guys not like?
Yeah, who knows if it was jitters? I'm not too sure. Maybe I'm sure it was different for each guy out there. I'm sure a couple guys felt butterflies. Maybe some didn't at all. You know what I mean? But in terms of just what we saw in film that needed to be better, again, a lot of just our baseline expectations, like our commitment and urgency to getting back in defensive transition and constantly making teams play 5-on-5 basketball versus us, not being caught in outnumbered situations where they have 4-on-3s, 5-on-4 stuff, much what we want to do the other way offensively. Our urgency wasn't where we needed to be in that regards. Once we got them in the half court, our baseline expectation of being able to guard the ball and be communicative off the ball and load it up, it's got to continue to be better. Goes without saying, like, a guy walks out of here with 8 offensive rebounds, there's an issue. And we're going to face some big dudes this year. So that's an area we got to fix.
Matt McGavick, Sports Illustrated. Coach Mack at some point saying that because of the pace of play and the style that there would be a certain amount of turnovers he'd be willing to live with. And I take it 19 is probably not that number. Was that more so indicative of the pressure that Southern was pushing on, or maybe just the lack of execution on the offensive end, or maybe first game jitters, like Jody said? What do you chalk that number up to? Mm-hmm.
We'll take 19 turnovers if we can have 90 possessions. It's more about the turnover percentage. You know what I mean? I wish our possession count was a little bit higher, but I think the turnovers, that number, that percentage, is unacceptable in terms of the amount of times we turned it over for the amount of possessions we had, and that's got to keep getting better. When you look at where our turnovers came throughout the course of the game, actually very few of them came in the course of transition. A small percentage of them did. All right, we had 4 of those come out of getting the ball slapped out of our hands. I mean, just like we have possession of the ball and we're getting our ball touched by the other team because of a lack of ball protection, right? We had, I think, 3 on baseline out of bounds that we got to be better on execution there. We had another 4 on bad pass execution. And one of those I know did come in transition where we just kind of read the situation wrong and threw out of bounds. Other 3 are in the half court. And I think what I've always found, like, once you get used to playing at pace, like, you're actually dealing with less pressure. And so, like, it should afford you to have less turnovers in that regards, as long as you're able to play with a clear head and not play tired and fatigued. You know what I mean? And it's when you face stuff in the half, when you play with no pace in the half court and in the full court, all of a sudden the defense gets to build out to you and not be constantly building back just to protect the basket, where now you're dealing with more ball pressure, you're dealing with more heat in passing lanes, right? You're dealing with more resistance. And so when we run slow action and that metronome slows all the way down and we let the defense load up on us, that's where a lot of our turnovers happen. I mean, and we got to be better there, moving from one action to the next. But yeah, we got to pull around when it comes to those turnovers.
You're playing a team that made a bunch of threes the other night, scored a lot of points. What have you seen with Furman and kind of the expectation of obviously what they're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, they got a really good group, and they got a veteran group. They had a group that's been playing together for a while here. I know they got one transfer that's in the rotation and 1 or 2 freshmen that might be playing, but they got a really solid group, and man, they shot the ball well the other night, and they've been a good shooting team for a really long time. Yeah, I mean, On the other side of that, they got a killer in Mike Bothwell, who's a paint, just like, he gets in there, he makes plays in the paint, he's a relentless driver. So yeah, we got our work cut out for us, and they challenge you in ways in terms of like what they do off the ball with cutting. I would argue they're one of the best cutting teams in America, how they cut off the ball and they move off the ball. So our alertness off the ball is going to be at a really high level.
Since we got a chance to talk to you back when you got the job until now, how have you adjusted to this new role in this? I'm one of the guys, I can't remember, I think it was Malik, said you're just a junkie and you're always, whenever you're there and kind of thing. How have you adjusted to this role?
I think great. I love it. It's fun. I don't know too much else to it. Obviously, the college game is different in so many regards to the NBA, the G League, international FIBA hoops, international pro hoops. They're all different. There's all little things you adjust to along the way and stuff. The city of Louisville is a different place than I've lived in before and stuff. So like, I think there's a lot of things you learn along the way. You're teaching a different age group that's majority 18 to 23 years old and stuff. And sometimes they're just thinking about that quiz that they got to knock out. You know what I mean? And so there's any amount of little challenges that come along. But I've had a great time adjusting to it, and it's the challenges, the obstacles, the way it helps you grow and learn and come up with new things and get creative.
One last for me. You guys announced the signing class this morning. Kind of your thoughts on as a staff, excited about those two players, and can you tell us a little bit about Frederick King and kind of how you found him?
Yeah, I mean, we're hyped about the class we've got right now, and we've known about Tay Davis for a really long time, and he's going to be great here. Tay's obviously a really, really solid player and only going to get better with his length, his size, his athleticism and stuff, and going to be able to play multiple positions, and for the way we play, we're really excited about Tay coming in. Fred's an exciting prospect and stuff, and I was lucky enough to go down to Mexico to the NBA Academy games down there, where the NBA Academy Latin America, NBA Academy Africa, and then the Skills Factory from Atlanta all played. And Fred, within the first 5 minutes of the first game, just absolutely stood out in terms of just like his potential, how he plays, the passion he plays with, how he worked on the floor, how he interacted with teammates. It was awesome to see. This guy has every tool physically and from a mindset perspective with his work ethic, right, to have a pretty damn good career here and beyond that. So we're really excited about it. Fred's a special dude.
Thank you, Ross.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
All right. There you go. Coach McMaines talking some recruiting, some game one. I certainly just went by the stat sheet, and the first game I know was not remotely what the Louisville fans wanted, and I'm sure what the coaching staff wanted, but it was a first game, and is a gaggle of new players, and they play without their head coach. I mean, I'm amazed. Why do you think schools pay these guys all this money? And just because they got nothing else to do with it? The library has enough books? I mean, they have an impact on the program. That's just the way it is. So, they played which was, he actually gave some really good insight. To me, the most insightful thing he said about the breakdown of the first game was this, and I think it's so true. You know, when I started coaching, I played very possession kind of game, and then late in my career, we went to a much more up-tempo thing, and I was always struck by the fact that it seemed like, I don't know what happened, all of a sudden it seems like we have a whole lot more room. Well, that's what he was talking about, that they made 19 turnovers, and he said, well, you know, how did you make the 19 turnovers? Was it because they had 90 possessions? Well, no. What happened is, and I think this is a byproduct of Chris not being there, and the kids are, you know, this is a game they know they should win, and they're without their coach, you tend to get, you know, not conservative, I guess is the best way to put it, but it's beyond that. It's not fear, but it's hesitancy. It's trepidation. And when that happens, then you make turnovers. He's exactly right. It's, you know, it's like when you see that guy against the press and he catches the ball and he waits for himself to be double teamed. And you say, well, what'd you wait for? You know, move it to the next guy and then they can't trap you. Well, it's the same thing. When they slowed down, it allows that defense to come get him and put the terms he used, put the heat on. And that's exactly right. And so, again, I didn't see it. So if you're watching, you can say, well, how about this or that? That's fine. But that makes sense to me. When I looked at the numbers and the total of possessions and the final score, and then you look at the number of turnovers, yeah, I think that the whole thing became a tempo that was not at all what they've been practicing for, and certainly was something that only exacerbated whatever anxiety there was about an opening game and playing without their coach. Excuse me, now you're playing, you know, and you're playing overly cautiously, and then it's almost inviting the defense to come out and get you, and as they come out and get after you, their confidence grows because they're forcing you to make turnovers, and the thing just snowballed on itself. So it's very strange that you would look at that and say they made 18 turnovers, and maybe it was because they didn't play fast enough. You know, at both ends of the floor, the game was not to their tempo liking, and that's and you can't get mad at that. Well, you can. You get mad at anything, but I mean, my point is, if you're going to buy into what Chris talked about in the offseason and everybody seems so excited about, and one of the reasons McMaines is here is to change the style of play and get after it with up-tempo. Now, you can say, well, okay, well, that didn't last very long. But I don't look at it that way. I look at it as that was part of the growing pain. They found out, okay, look what happens when we don't commit to the style that we're drilling on playing. This is you know, this is what we're going to get. We're going to get a game where we're struggling and there's no space, it seems like, to work, and we make an inordinate number of turnovers. And I think that was the point he was making, was a lot of it was predicated on the fact that they didn't play to the tempo that they want to. And based on looking at the stat sheet, I think it's pretty evident that they didn't. So, you know, I think he made a great point about that. And you can see he's going to be a very desirable coach down the run, down the road, I think. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, he's got all the new way of doing things. I mean, he plays a style that the kids are going to love, and you know, and he's recruiting at academies and which is how everybody does it right now. He's got the connections at all those places, and he does what good teachers do. He has catchphrases. You know, you heard him talk about the metronome slowing down. He has catchphrases for things like that. So I think he's going to be very much in demand going forward. But we'll see. We'll see if they bounce back with a different kind of performance on Friday. Hey, let me remind you, if you have chronic joint pain, knees hurting, hips aching, it's time to think about an exciting new way to treat joint pain with biologic therapies, regenerative solutions. I'm talking about QC Kinetics. Lots of people here have already called QC Kinetics. You know, they're the leader in helping people deal with chronic pain. No surgery, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime. These natural pain treatments can actually repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints with long-lasting results. I'm telling you, Biologic Solutions helps your body heal itself. Call QC Kinetics to learn more at 502-219-4636. If you have joint pain due to arthritis, lower back pain, shoulder, hips, or knee pain, you need to change the way you think about pain treatments and discover the biologic therapies at QC Kinetics. Get moving again. Get your life back with no surgery and no drugs. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more at 502-219-4636. That's 502-219-4636. Regenerative, restorative, real pain relief. 502-419-4636 at QC Kinetics. We'll be right back.
Uncle Chuck.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
I'd like to point out that Minute of Dead Air brought to you by Schmeichenfelder Funeral Home. You kill him, we chill him. What transpired there?
Where I was in the bathroom.
That happens. Good. Maybe tell somebody to stand on the board. Did you not expect them to be done that soon or what?
It took a little longer than I expected.
All right, well, we're going to do something here in a minute.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Larry Overton, Chick Verona. You have to continue the tradition, Pops. This is the first Thursday you've done in a couple weeks.
Okay.
You got to ask her what she's eating. She gives us some pretty solid food tips. Like last week she gave us a recipe for a delightful fall beverage, like a bourbon cider. I forgot the name of it. Is like Steve Cider or something like that after her hubby. But pretty tasty little recipe.
How romantic. You know what it takes to get good food too? You got the money to buy the ingredients, and the way you can get the money is to check in at UPS Jobs Kentucky, because they're now offering up to $21 an hour for part-time package handler positions, plus a $200 bonus for every single person you refer to work at UPS. Every single one. That doesn't matter how many. You refer them, they'll knock out that $200 bonus. Just line them up. You can drive them over in a van if you want to. For a limited time, UPS is offering a $25 gift card for you to get work boots if you choose to work the day side of the operation. Graduate debt-free. Apply today at upsjobsky.com. Don't you need work boots if you work at night, too? So why?
Yeah, no. Well, I
why
guess
are you only giving a $25 gift card for the work boots for the day? Would the night people coming in slippers or what? What the hell does that mean?
Well, no. As someone who worked at night for 8 years, no. They do not wear slippers.
That's what I mean.
Well, so I don't know. You'd have to.
You know, as a guy who hosted an overnight show on the network for years, those are my people. So I'm looking out for them. Why don't they get the $25 bonus? What's up with that?
I don't know. We'll have to ask our friends at UPS next time they come on. I think maybe it's just like a little extra incentive to do the day shift, maybe. Because believe it or not, like when I was working there, it was harder to get on. I guess the day shift than it was night shift. But I think that was because they were hiring more people for nights. So I don't know. Maybe now it's now that tables have turned. I've been out of UPS. I've been out of the box game for a little while.
Yes, you have. But you know what? If you got those work boots, they protect your feet. And that's good because suppose you dropped something really hard on them like diamonds. Get ready for something incredible at Genesis Diamonds, the biggest and last store-wide sale of the year coming up this weekend, November 12, 13, and 14. 3 days of extraordinary deals. How extraordinary, you ask? Well, I'll tell you, 20, 25, up to 35% savings on some items. And remember, you can say, well, that's okay, that's nice, but Genesis rarely has a sale because their everyday prices usually beat everyone else's. So now you tack another 20, 25, 35% off on top of that. Yikes, this is the real deal. Special markdowns in every category. Rings, earrings, pendants, bands, bracelets, colored gemstones. You get the Genesis Diamonds value price, plus extra discounts of 20, 25, up to 35%. And the selection, well, they've stocked up, all right. It's like double the norm. Genesis has invited their designer partners to bring in trunk loads of new fashion jewelry for this event. All new styles and designs in both fashion and bridal jewelry, and every piece on sale. And on top of all this, as if that weren't enough, and it already is, there's even more. You can take advantage of 0% interest financing. This weekend, November 12, 13, and 14, the final sale of the year, the biggest sale of the year. Holidays, you know, are take a look at your calendar, folks, right around the corner. And my guess is somebody would like a nice piece of jewelry for that gift, and you would like to get it at the best possible price and the best possible selection at the highest possible quality. Well, there's only one place that'll give you all those options, and that is Genesis Diamonds. So check it out this weekend exclusively at Genesis Diamonds. Also, take a look at the luxury pre-owned Rolexes, Shelbyville Road Plaza, C-Store for details. All right.
I was just thinking about it. I should have called Larry during
Of course you didn't. I knew you didn't do that during the break. I was talking my brains out, and you just... you were mesmerized by the spot.
That transition was Blankenbaker-esque in terms of, you know, segueing into the read. That was pretty impressive stuff. But I just got to thinking, I wonder if we could actually get a funeral home on to sponsor the Moments of Dead Air when one of us has wandered away from the microphone or the board.
I'm not sure they'd want to be associated with the word dead. I mean, we all know that's what they do, but you notice it's never in their, you know, it's never in their comments. It's always a resting place.
Seriously, wouldn't you kind of want to go to a place that embraces it, makes it a little fun?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to know the truth? The first apartment that your mother and I rented when we first got married, I was coaching at Hofstra, it was a house that was adjacent to a funeral home. They've raised the whole thing. The funeral home's gone. The house is gone.
See, the term raised with a funeral home scares me more than dead.
Well, I'm pretty sure they got all the bodies out before they knocked everything down. At least I hope so. But the guy who owned the funeral home also owned our house. So he was our landlord. I'm telling you, he was the funniest, nicest, most upbeat guy I've ever met. The only thing I could think is he probably has to be so reserved. I mean, in his real day job. I mean, you can't go in there and say, "Hey, folks, what brings you here today?" What brings you folks in? So I guess
see you guys soon.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess when he gets away from it, like he liked to sing. I think he was in a little weekend band. He wasn't a young guy, but I think a group of guys got together and sang. I don't know if they did shows or whatever, but very fun. And the most laid back landlord, I mean, he was a joy because, I mean, I was traveling my brains out. When you were a first year assistant back then, there were no restrictions on recruiting. It was like anything goes. So I was on the road for weeks at a time, basically. And I would get back and I'd owe him for 2 months rent or something. And he was like, "Hey, get it to me when you can." I was like, "Yeah, that's a nice man right there. So when I die, I'm coming to see you," but he's not there anymore. So, I mean, I have very great respect for what they do, but really it is, it's unlike any other business in the world, right? I mean, you know, there's a built-in market forever. I mean, unless we somehow start, everybody starts living perpetually, there's always going to be, you know, there's always going to be supply. You're never going to run out. And you really can't do a whole lot in the way of, "Hey, we're having a special. If you've been waiting to die, now's the time. You don't want to let this opportunity pass."
I'm picturing the little punch-out card they give at haircuts.
Have your whole family come see us. You know, when you get to the have four relatives go, the fifth is free.
Oh,
you know,
Grandpa and Baxter goes, we'll get a free bucket of chicken. Look at that.
It's just, I mean, it's a weird thing, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly, you got to have a different, you know, but having said that, it's a very useful and important thing they do. If they do it well, they can provide, you know, some comfort for the grievers, for the people. And you know, at that time, you can barely think straight. So they're helping you with details and things. But as I said, literally every other business, I mean, lawyers, for goodness sake, right now are advertising. You know, there's all sorts of advertisement going on for lawyers. When I was a kid, it was illegal for lawyers to advertise. You know, now they're everywhere. You can't pass a billboard. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a lawyer billboard on 65. I mean, so that's the way it is. I'm not saying it's good or bad or indifferent. It just is. But, you know, you can understand that. I mean, there's choices to be made if you need legal representation. And so, but I don't know what you would do if they're, hey, we just, the most, you know, the least active guy in the world's got to be like the director of marketing for the Schwenkenfelder Funeral Home. I mean, what's he supposed to do? What is he? Hey, we're having a giveaway for Cousin Curly's funeral this week. The first 500 attendees get a bobblehead. I mean, what are they going to do? I'm not sure you'll get very far with that. But I mean, I've heard radio ads for them, and they're very tasteful, and they talk about, you know, in your time of grieving and sorrow, you know, would come see us. That's very somber voiced and respectful, which it should be. But you know, it's just like, could you imagine like Crazy Eddie, the guy?
That's what I'm saying. I want the guy from you know Nobody Beats the Wiz or something like that.
It's Crazy Eddie's from Fabulous 2-for-1 sale. Just, you got one guy dead, find somebody else in your neighborhood, bring them over. We got caskets, ashes, every urns, you name it, we got it all. Come see it all. You know,
it's just Larry's on the phone, probably going, "What the hell?"
It's just the most ridiculous premise. But you know, if you don't know the Crazy Eddie ads, go look them up. I mean, it was a guy, Eddie Antar, who wound up being a crook. But for a long time, they had a bunch of discount electronic stores in New York. They were everywhere. And when you were rolling, you got ads. They were on every radio station, every TV. They were all over the place. And they hired this DJ named Jerry Carroll, who played the character. And a lot of people thought he was Crazy Eddie. He was just a spokesperson. He talked a million miles an hour and did a whole bunch of things. And they would talk like this. And, you know, and I said, imagine, I'd like to juxtapose that with the Schwenkenfelder funeral. I think the bobbleheads is the most creative idea. Anyway.
Please bring Lara on before you scare her away.
We'll do that. Hi, Lara. Have you stayed in there with us? Have you bailed on us with the tasteless comedy we've been doing? How are you?
Hey, Chick Marona is here for you always, no matter the circuitous route that it takes to get to me. Always here and happy to be hanging out with you, in particular on a Thursday.
I still think that was funny. The guy just texted us. It's so sad, but hilarious. So I think you're right. Hey, I'm told by Nick I have to ask you about food. The first part of our
conversation. Oh, you do that at the end. Food. Come on.
Well, I don't know. You know, if you and what's his name, the other acrimonious jackass, don't get off my ass, I'm not coming in on Thursday anymore. You guys are, they're being mean to me, Lara.
Bob, I'm here to stick up for you. I'm here to provide reinforcement. Yeah, we usually do. We've been closing out our conversations of late, talking about some sort of snack, treat, or indulgence. Yes, that is true.
All right. Well, I'll wait till the end so that I don't. Okay.
Now it's a radio tease. That's good. That was actually world. Look at you, Dad. Actually being professional. There you go. Like a good radio tease.
I don't want to make a habit of that. Let's not go there. So, let's talk about football. Want to? While you're here, what the heck? We might as well.
Always. I mean, there's only one thing I might like to talk about more than food, and that would indeed be football, especially in relation to the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, and they've got a guy maybe coming back off of concussion protocol. What is the deal with Mr. Hilton? Is he well, you tell me. Why am I answering my own question? You tell me. What's the latest?
Well, been very encouraging, certainly from T.Y. Hilton. Of course, he had the concussion against the Titans and just too close of a turnaround that he could not possibly clear all of those steps of the NFL's concussion protocol to be ready for the Thursday night game against the Jets, so missed that game. But he was a limited participant in practice yesterday, out there with the red jersey and everything, just left the practice field a little bit ago, and T.Y. was out there, so very encouraging. It seems that if everything continues trending where they are, are, and he clears these final steps over the, you know, next 48 hours, that he would be good to return. And it's been disappointing, I know, for T.Y. coming off of, you know, the neck surgery that cost him the beginning of the season. We saw a lot of promising things between he and Carson Wentz prior to the injury to T.Y. Hilton. So he is, you know, comes back for the Houston game, plays incredibly well. Seems like he's, you know, back to form with that. And then he has gets a little banged up, has a quad issue, and then the concussion. So it's been a frustrating first half of the season. Now we're hoping that T.Y. can be at 100% and get up to that, you know, production that we have known him to have within this Indianapolis Colts offense. And it's when it's needed, you know, against a divisional opponent. And this is a team that has no wiggle room in the month of November if they want to make any sort of a run to position themselves for playoff conversations.
Yeah, you kind of took the question away from me, because I was just going to say, I mean, Tennessee's kind of getting pretty far up the highway on them. But if you start looking at the you know, wild card possibilities, they're still very much in the mix, but there's no slack in the rope. So there's got to be some sense of urgency. What do you hear from Coach Frank Reich about the I'm not going to be disingenuous. I'm reading a preview of the game, and I'm hearing Coach's comments. So I'll see if you can elaborate on them. He said he's seen some real progression in Jacksonville watching on tape. What can you add to that? What's he seen from them that's presenting more of a challenge?
Exactly. That was one thing that he and I talked about in our normal Monday conversation, because Jacksonville is coming off an incredibly impressive win over the Bills, which do have a dynamic, prolific offense with, you know, Josh Allen and all of the weapons, you know, that he has. And that was, I mean, what was it, 9-6, the final? Yeah, there was all field goals. I mean, coming off of an incredible performance from the other Josh Allen, the Josh Allen of the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. So one of the things that Coach Reich and I touched on in this week's conversation, which you can see on Colts 360, our show that goes up on YouTube, go up tomorrow, but Coach was saying that the game last weekend, last Sunday, which a lot of our coaches were able to actually sit back and watch because they weren't playing on Sunday, right. So they're kind of flipping around watching all their games. It reminded Coach Reich a lot of the game the Colts lost to Jacksonville back in 2018, when the Colts went on that incredible run, won 9 out of their last 10 games. That's that Andrew Luck-led offense that looked nearly unstoppable. At one point, they went down and lost like 6-0 at Jacksonville that year. And he said that, you know, we looking at that, Jacksonville was just so stingy defensively. They were so sound. And I was hearing a couple of people, this didn't come from Coach Reich, but listening to some other people outside, a lot of people felt like that Buffalo a little bit overlooked Jacksonville to some degree. And the good thing for the Colts is that, one, they can't afford to overlook anyone. Right. And that was really well illustrated last week. This is a conversation I had with numerous people in the building, was prior to facing the Jets, I asked, how much respect is New York due, given the fact their win, you know, who their wins are coming off of? The Cincinnati Bengals and the Tennessee Titans, two of the better teams in the AFC. And everyone was like, there's absolutely no overlooking, you know, this Jets team, what they were able to do, you know, with a backup quarterback with Mike White, and then came in and, you know, they're on their third string quarterback once they got to, you know, into the second quarter of the game here on Thursday. So one thing that the Colts have disciplined themselves is never to look past any opponent. And they also know you're always going to get the best out of Jacksonville. Think about 1 year ago, season opener.
Yep.
They go down to Jacksonville, and that loss came back to haunt them. It almost kept the Colts out of the playoff picture because they lost that week one game. So it is really interesting, you know, this Jacksonville defense, or Jacksonville defense in particular, the way they really well game plan for their opponent week in and week out. We're seeing, of course, with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, this offense is really working through some things. They're very young. And I think that, you know, that's something that you're seeing some development with. But the biggest thing that you have to factor for this week is the Jacksonville defense, in particular their front, and how disruptive that they pride themselves on being for opposing quarterbacks.
Kick Verona's with us, Lara Overton, talking about the Colts. And everybody probably remembers, I mean, sometimes when there's a real crazy game like that and it's 4 or 5 years ago, you say it really doesn't have a lot of bearing. The whole roster's so different. And even though there's a lot of turnover on the roster, you make a great point. That was just 1 year ago. They lost to Jacksonville in the opener. And Jacksonville didn't win another game. So you certainly have got to have guys' attention over that. So, but there's also, you talked about the Jets as an example. Sometimes there's external stuff that I don't know, it can work either as a distraction or a forced focus. And this is happy news, but tell me about Carson Wentz. My understanding is he's got his cell phone with him, like, on the practice field because of, well, you can tell everybody why.
Pretty close to it is. He's kind of on high alert. He's glancing at the phone pretty frequently because he and his wife Maddie are expecting their second child any day. And he said, he was asked about this in availability yesterday, what is the situation if she goes into labor Sunday? What predicament does that put you in? What's the plan? And he said, if it happens, that's what happens, and he will play the game, and then he'll get to the hospital as soon after as he needs to. And Carson is an incredibly faith-based, very religious guy, very strong in his Christian faith, and he said, I just have to trust God timing on this. This is all in his hands, and we'll figure it out. It's, you know, hopefully it works out that he's not put in a situation of having to choose between going to the hospital or being on the field with his teammates. But, you know, it's really just, you know, you need him there for warm-ups. You need him to get there right around 10 a.m., and then he's done by about, you know, 4 or 5 p.m. on Sunday. So if we can just avoid the 10 to 5 window on Sunday, there's no drama in the Wentz household. And he said that his wife is in complete support of that plan. She would tell him, and that's one of the things that DeForest Buckner backed him up on as well, because DeForest and his wife are expecting their second child not until February. But DeForest said, heck yeah, if it were me in this same scenario that my wife and I were welcoming a child in season, she would tell me, you better go that game, you know. So it is interesting though. Carson is certainly on baby watch. It is Wentz baby watch 24/7 around here. It's funny, actually, he was a little bit late getting onto the practice field today. We're all standing out there, and I saw Brett Hundley and Sam Ellinger, and I say to one of my coworkers, oh, there's no Carson. Do you think it's baby time? And he came out, he just got out there a little bit later. It was a jog through very low-key practice, so nothing to be concerned about. But we were all like, you know, all of us are on pins and needles, like head on a swivel, like, is it time? We were all hoping, hey, maybe it goes a little bit early so we have to avoid, or so we can avoid the situation of, you know, not being there for a potential Sunday delivery.
Well, as somebody who believes God has a sense of humor, I could see this is a game the Colts are 10.5 point favorites, and yet they're struggling a bit, and it comes down, it's the fourth quarter, and Wentz is leading them down the field for what's going to be possibly the game-winning touchdown or game-winning field goal, and then the phone rings, and they say, hey, guess what? Your wife just had a baby. That would be a true, I bet, you want to know the truth? They probably wouldn't tell them. They probably would wait to say, what the heck?
You want to know something interesting? So they have a lot of family around. So Carson's family, his brother and sister-in-law, and their family are around here quite a bit. And then his wife actually is from Lexington. So they were really excited to move. When the trade happened, they knew they were going to be in Indianapolis. They were really excited knowing that they were, you know, going to grow their family to be closer to her side of the family. So I would imagine they made that very easy drive already. And I bet that the in-laws have probably already set up shop to be on, you know, baby patrol should that exact scenario happen.
One last thing before we get off the game. We talked about Carson and the offense. How about defensively, where Darius Leonard has just been incredible at one aspect of the game? Frank Reich thinks he's one of the best, literally, he's ever seen at forcing fumbles. In fact, 4 forced fumbles this season, tied for the league lead, and since 2018, there's only 2 players, pretty good players, T.J. Watt and Khalil Mack, are ahead of him. Leonard has 13 forced fumbles. I mean, that's got to be obviously something that factors into the defensive game plan and his fellow teammates. Do they talk about that? You know, they talk about sometimes about guys holding runners up and letting somebody come and try and force a fumble. Do they try and work to get that, or is it just something he's got an innate skill for?
Twofold. I think it's certainly a team effort to create those opportunities and then Darius to exploit them. And one of the things that I talked with Darius quite a bit about is it's even more so a mental skill as it is physical. Obviously, there's a physical component to it, the way he punches the ball out and the way he is able to, you know, exploit those opportunities. But he also said that he studies film on how ball carriers carry the ball, where they position their arms, who's loose with it, who carries it more inside. So he studies how those opportunities are going to come about. This is something that he spends as much time as anything game planning for, watching film on, and it is a mentality of this defense to, like, gang tackle. Everybody runs to the ball. You attack. They want, you know, he said, we got 11 guys on defense, and there's only one ball. So all guys should be rushing to that ball carrier, rushing to whoever is in possession of the ball at any given point. And one of the things that this has done is inject so much momentum into the offense, because the offense has capitalized well on those turnover opportunities. 77 points from the Indianapolis Colts have come off of turnovers so far this season. And this defense was very bold to start the year in saying they had a goal of 40-plus takeaways. They're at 20 right now. And it was actually somewhat of a slow start, given, you know, the caliber of teams that they faced early on. So this is, you know, they always kind of say, like, sacks come in bunches. I think for this Indianapolis Colts defense, it's like almost those forced fumbles have come in bunches with a couple of different guys, but all spearheaded, of course, by Darius Leonard. I mean, he's known as the maniac for a number of reasons, and one of those is being just, you know, how vicious that he is when he attacks the football and how much he prides himself on punching the ball out. And he was pretty mad at himself, guys. He really wanted to get a punch out on Derrick Henry. He had not had one yet, and he was really going to go for one in that game against the Tennessee Titans that Derrick was obviously, you know, very he was injured in and, you know, hampered his production in that game. But, yeah, I think that this is going to be a great opportunity where Darius sees, you know, multiple chances to get that ball loose.
All right, it's time, Nick. So here you go. I know you want to jump out on the food.
Yay.
What are we talking about here? So well, I don't just, want to screw it up again. Is there a magic word I have to say?
No, we just want to know what Larry's eating right now, if they or drinking. Last week she gave us a great drink recipe.
Okay. I did. What? I gave a great drink recipe. I've got two, like, nothing that's that original, but two kind of childhood nostalgic treats that I have rediscovered now by the product of, like, needing things that I can just keep in my bag on game days. Like, so these are things that, like, you can take on the go. It can fit in, like, your bag or whatever for a couple of hours before you come out and eating it. One are the prepackaged Rice Krispie treats. It is about those, it is the perfect proportion of the crispy and the marshmallow and the sweet. It's wonderful, and they don't go bad. Like, they can get smashed. You know, they can get warm. They can get cold. They still maintain the integrity of the crispy treat. The other, Uncrustables. I never really ate much of these.
Oh, like, I just started. I just discovered those. They're good.
How great are those?
Right? I mean,
wonderful, because I like a good amount. Like, I like more filling to bread. Like, I need a large ratio of, like, PB&J with, like, a thin bread, and that, they've knocked it out of the park. They've gotten it right on that. And it's great because, you, like, let it sit out for, like, an hour or so, and then it's at, like, perfect room temperature.
Is it only PB&Js, or are there other ones? The only ones I've had are PB&Js.
They have strawberry and grape. They were a favorite of Jason Anderson when he used to work here.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. That's a good
and
point.
Also, this goes back to our Thursday night game. That's what Erin Andrews swears by. So she'll do her first hit for the broadcast, and then she snacks on a Uncrustable PB&J, and that's what gets her through.
Well, if you can't trust Erin Andrews for your dietary suggestions,
right?
I don't know who you're going to listen to.
If you've been dominating the sideline for 20 years like she has, she's clearly got something figured out. So I'm going to take a page out of that playbook for sure.
Fair enough. Hey, take care of yourself. Thanks for getting to visit with us again, and hopefully we'll talk again soon. Be well.
Hey, always look forward to it, guys. Have a great week.
All right. It's our friend Lara Overton. Thanks to her for being with us. Thanks to our other guests today as well, and to the Big Hitter producer for his work. It's a Thursday, so I'll see you tomorrow on Fast Break Friday with Mike Pratt, who, God willing, you take care
Paulie of yourself. Paulie B. will join at 12:30.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.